as God says. And so we find out that, and I want you to remember this, that there's nothing in the world so great or so powerful that cannot be turned around by the words that you speak, by your tongue. It's a powerful entity, and God has given us this ability, and we need to learn this. Now listen to me closely. There's things that in the Word of God, and we know this basically, that if we learn to apply these things, they work because God's Word can't fail. Amen. And so what we do is we look for principles, precepts, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. We look for the principles in the Word of God to help our life so that we can receive our destiny, so we can receive the end result which God has for us. Now, if we're going to attain that destiny, we're going to attain it by the words that we speak. You see, these things have to be taught to us. This is another good reason for coming to church. Now, there's many, but, you know, I think one of the best reasons, besides worshiping God and developing that presence of God in our life through worship and praise, but it's to learn the Word of God. And, again, you can't just stumble onto these things. You have to be taught these things. They don't come by osmosis. They come because you are seeking God. They come because there's a hunger and there's a thirst by the grace of God. The grace of God puts that hunger in your life to seek and get the revelation of these principles so that you can do them into your life, because you cannot walk in something that you're not sure of. You cannot walk and apply something that you've never heard. And this is a truth that is not preached a whole lot in churches. And really, it's a basic kindergarten truth about the power of our words. When Proverbs said death and life are in the power of the tongue, he meant exactly what he said. Amen. And he meant exactly what he said, because what he said will happen. Everything that God has spoken has happened. He didn't pay attention to the circumstances. He didn't say, oh, it's dark out here. No, he just looked at that darkness and said, let there be light. What happens is we speak what we see, and so we continue to have what we say. A lot of times people are in their situations. Well, I'm going to retract that. You are in your situations. You are in your dilemmas because of the way that you've been talking. So if we get anything out of these messages, it's to learn to change the way we talk. And we have to catch ourselves. We have to have, you know, companions sometime to say, hey, wait a minute, did you just hear what you said? Because if we plant the wrong kind of seed in our heart, then we're going to have the wrong kind of tree. And if we have the wrong kind of tree growing, how many know we're going to produce the wrong kind of fruit? Okay, so let's just dig into this again this morning with the time that we have. I just want to lay it out like a lawyer, you know, just walking you through these things. Amen. All right, Isaiah 55, verse 10. If you found it, say, I've got it. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there. How many know that when the rain comes down, the dew comes down, it doesn't go back up to heaven? Now, that's what he's talking about here, okay? It's important. He says, but what do? They water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give what? Seed to the sower, and what? Bread to the eater. Now look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Just like the rain comes down and it does what it's supposed to do, when God speaks his word, it goes out of his mouth. And the Bible says in the next part of that verse that it will not return to him void. Or in other words, it will not return to him fruitless. It will be effective. It will do what it was sent to do. He said, it will not return to me void. In other words, without producing any effect. And then it goes on to say, but it shall accomplish. Say accomplish. what I please, or what my purpose is, and it shall prosper. Come on, help me somebody, in the thing for which I sent it. Now that's what he's telling us about his own word, okay? So we need to learn to find out in the word of God what to say, what to speak in situations, in crises, in things that come up. We can either speak again what the situation is, or we can go to God's word and see what he has to say about it, because if we can speak God's word over it and into it, that thing has to reverse. That thing has to turn around. That thing has to change its course. So it is important that we have a good confession. Amen. We're not talking about confessing our sin now. We're not talking about confessing something we did wrong. We're not talking about something negative. We're talking about speak what God says. Now, follow me over to the book of Matthew. If you're here, say amen. All righty. Matthew chapter 9. Now let's look at this in verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy upon us. And when he had come unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Now notice, wait a minute now, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, do you believe that you're able to do this? He said, I'm able to do this. He's able to do this. So when it says that, he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? What'd they say? They said, yes. God is able, because the scripture says all things are what? Are possible to those that believe. So, what is possible for L.T. Moss is solely based on what I believe. In other words, what I believe, and I'll just use this for illustration. See, I may believe something that is possible for me, but it's not possible for you, because it's solely based on what I believe. See, I may be believing for cameras so we can put the services out on the worldwide internet so we can get the word out all over the world. You may be believing God for something else. I may be believing God for a new car. Don't you get mad. Don't you get jealous at me when a new car manifests in my life. See, somebody else might be believing for a new house. Somebody might be believing for a 7-bedroom house. Well, don't get mad at Sister So-and-so because it manifests in her life. We're talking about believing. See, if you can believe, then it says all things are possible. So I have to have something that I can believe in. But there's another step to this. Go over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And look at verse 23. Here's what it says. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are what? To who? To him that believes. Now, what can you believe God for? What can you believe? Now, is he talking about something secular, or is he talking about something biblical? Well, he's talking about something biblical, but what if you need something? Can you believe God for it? See, what can you believe God for? You may be believing God for the best. You ought to be believing God for the best. You ought to be believing God for the best that he has to give to you. Because as soon as you can believe it, and listen, Would you put my scripture up there, Mark 11:23? We hadn't read that in a couple of weeks, and we need to look at that right quick for some that hadn't been here. What does it say? It says, whosoever will say unto this mountain. What does the mountain represent? It represents that thing which is in my way or keeps me from visibly seeing the promise of God. Whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be removed, and what? And cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his where? In his heart, not his head. So we've established this thing can't be, you know, oh, I want this because so-and-so has it, or I'm going to believe God because so-and-so has it. No, it has to be something that's been established in your heart. And that's what I'm telling you. If you're using your faith to believe for a Mercedes-Benz and you believe that in your heart that God's going to manifest and it manifests, I'm not going to get jealous of you when it comes. I'm not going to be envious if you have faith to believe God for those things. Amen. Are you listening to me? So, believes in his heart, but believes that what? Those things which he says will be done, and he or she will have whatever they say. That is a law. That is a principle of God. Don't let people take that away from you out of religious rite and religious tradition. That is a law that Jesus spoke, that you will have whatever you say if you do not doubt in your heart. But you got to believe that which you say. You can't just come off the wall and say, oh, I'm believing for that. No, it's got to be something that has been planted in your heart, and you speak it and you stand on it and you confess it. You hold fast to your confession until it comes to pass. Now go back over there to Matthew chapter 9. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. So, number one, if I can believe, then it says all things are possible. Amen? Matthew chapter 9, and look at verse 27 again. Now, there's another thing, though. It's not just to believe. I've got to believe that I receive, but I've got to speak the word. We'll find out. It's not just to believe, but I got to speak the word that I'm believing. And I've got to believe it. Now, a lot of people believe, but they don't speak the word. They don't have it in their heart. And then again, because of things, what happens? Here comes doubt. Here comes unbelief. What do you start doing? You start wavering back and forth. You're looking at the situation, you're looking at the circumstances, you're feeling the pain instead of standing or holding fast to the confession that you said that you believe, so that it can come to pass, because whatsoever you saith is what will come to pass. You can have negative things happen because you're saying negative things. I know it gets quiet when you talk like this, but I'm just trying to show you this principle here. That's why the church has been deceived, and they fail again to receive God's best because they let the enemy take away their confession that they should be holding fast to. Don't let the enemy rob you of saying what God says. It is important. It is important. Well, he goes on and says again, look at this again. It says, when Jesus departed, the two blind men came to him crying, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith. Always notice he says something. When he was tempted in the wilderness, what happened? He said, it is written, but he spoke what he's written. If we're going to say something, what are we going to say? We're going to say what is written. How did Jesus get out of that wilderness of temptation? How did he have victory in that area when he was being tempted? Because he spoke what was written. It said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. And what happened? Their eyes were open And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one sees it." And when they had departed, they went and blabbed it everywhere. Well, I just kind of filled in the blanks there. You know, there's an important lesson there. Because we know that there's nothing impossible to those that believe. And God does things in our life. They're supernatural things. And you know what? You got to be careful because people will try to talk you out of what you know. Because they haven't experienced it. Because they haven't, you know, felt it or seen it. They try to talk you out of what you know in God. So Jesus said, be careful, you know, when you start telling people, make sure those people don't influence you. You're supposed to influence those people. Somebody say amen. Now, let's go over to the book of James. Your believing is your key to the promises of God. Just as quickly as I can speak it from my heart because I believe it, that's as quick as you will receive it. That's a principle in the Word of God. Now look over here to the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Look at verse 2. It says, "For if we stumble in many things, for we all stumble in many things, if anyone does not stumble in what? In word, he is a perfect," or he is a mature person, "able also to bridle the whole body." Now what he's saying is if you can learn to control your tongue, you can control your body. You can control your flesh. Because remember, your flesh does not want to conform to what God says. Your flesh does not want to do the word. That's why we have to renew the mind, remember, because the mind is really the controlling factor of how this body is going to reciprocate or receive what we're telling it to do. So we've got to learn that, you know, the flesh is going to oppose the things of God. Just because of its old nature, that sin nature that tries to resurrect and tries to come back to life on us. And so we have to continue in the Word because the Bible teaches us that if we are His disciples, we will continue in the Word. We've got to diligently seek Him. Diligence means that we're consistent. We're persistent. We're not seasonal like Christmas and Easter. Or just when we get the urge. A lot of people come to church when they get the urge. You're not going to get the urge all the time, but you still need to be consistent. I said you still need to be diligent because God is going to reward those that what? Diligently seek Him. He's going to reward those that will believe Him. Because that without the faith, the Bible says, it's impossible, right, to come to Him. Those that come to Him must believe that He is. All right? So he begins a little dissertation here about the tongue. He's saying if we can control our tongue, then we can control our body. Because everything we get into in life is a result. I can't stress this enough to you. Is a result of what we've been saying. Everything, every time there is a battle, every time there is a confrontation, every time there's a crisis, it's because of what you've been saying. You say, well, I don't remember saying anything. Well, let's read on here. Let's look at this. He said in verse 3, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Now let me just stop here so that I can teach you this, because he uses an illustration here. How many of you know what a bit is in a horse's mouth? I heard the bit in the horse's mouth. And when they put the bit in the horse's mouth, and they rear back on the reins, it pulls the vent and it causes the tongue of the horse to stick out. In other words, you got to apply some pressure on the tongue. Because there's opposition coming, and when you speak against the opposition, then it doesn't matter how big the horse is, the little bit there in the mouth, if it's speaking the word of God, can turn the thing. That's what he's teaching us, okay? If you want the horse to turn to the right, you yank the thing to the right and your tongue comes out. So you got to put some pressure on your tongue. Why do we have to put pressure on our tongue? Because there's going to be opposition to doing the will of God. But if you keep saying and speaking with your mouth what God says, then it's going to change that whole situation. There's nothing that cannot be changed by you correcting your speech. Now the next verse gets a little bit more into this. Look what it says in verse 4 again. It says, look also at ships. Now he's talking about, he went from horses to ships. He said, although they are so large. Now, a horse is pretty big, you know, compared to a man. But how many know a ship's even bigger compared to a man? Amen. All right? So, really what he's saying here, again, it doesn't matter how big the mountain gets. Whosoever shall speak to that mountain. Do you hear this? It doesn't matter how big the situation gets. Some of you say, oh, man, this is more than I can handle. What did you just say? This thing is about to kill me. What did you just say? Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by what? A very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Now, depending on what translation you have Helm, the old King James, and Governor. But when he's talking about the rudder, now listen to this. Let me just stop here. Let me just teach you a little bit this morning. You got the boat. You got the ship going in a direction. As long as the rudder is straight on the ship is going to go straight. There's no resistance on the rudder, so the ship is going to stay straight. If the ship is going south, which is I'm pointing south, and the rudder is straight, the ship is going south. Right. Now, if I want to veer and start going to the right, then I'm going to have to turn the rudder to the right. Now, what happens when I turn the rudder to the right? You've got the opposing force or the water hitting the rudder. And slowly but surely, the force or the flow of the water hitting the rudder parked to the right begins to push the back end of the boat around to the left and the nose of the boat goes right. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? Amen. The more that I want to turn into my right, the more I turn the rudder into the opposing force of the water, and it is the force of the water that pushes my boat to the direction that I want to go. Are we clear? Now, when I use my tongue, when I speak the word of God, he's comparing your tongue, he's comparing what you say to that little rudder on that big old ship. And when you speak the word of God, you begin to turn your rudder. And the opposing force begins to come. It doesn't immediately happen. When you declare that by his stripes I am healed. What happens? There's a force, there's a flow of water coming. When you say, I am a winner, I am not a loser, what happens? There's a force of water coming against you. When you say that I have a marriage made in heaven, what happens is there's a force of water. You don't feel anything yet. The boat is not turning yet, but it's the force of the issues. It's the force of the problem. If I keep my rudder in place, if I hold fast to my confession, the very force that's opposing is going to turn my boat around in the direction that I need to go. It turns the boat in the direction I need to go without losing the people on the boat. That's a whole nother message. Did you get that? The boat is very large. The ship is very large. And the last part of that verse says, and wherever the, what? The pilot desires. You got, you know, you don't get out of the boat and go physically yank on the big old rudder or the little rudder down there behind the boat. You don't go out and get in the water and get wet. You stand up there in the captain's deck and you just move the wheel. And the pulley system and the cabling or whatever turns the rudder. Wherever the pilot desires it. Whatever word you speak, the rudder is being turned to. Oh, you didn't catch this, did you? The pilot is the heart. Whatever the heart desires. Why are we told it's out of the abundance of the heart what the mouth speak? We're told to guard our heart with what? All diligence. For out of it flow what? The issues of life. Out of the abundancy of the heart, the mouth speaks. So wherever that heart wants to turn that ship is the way that ship is going to turn. Right. I'm telling you, there's nothing in this world that cannot be turned around. And get your ship headed in the right direction by the words that you speak. Now read on here. He uses another example, just in case you didn't get it in 1 and 2. It says, even so. See, he's talking about the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You know those big fires they had out in California last month that did such destruction damage on all those, you know, all those $1 million properties? One of the major fires that destroyed so much was started by a little kid playing with matches. Just one little match began to set the whole forest ablaze that did all that destruction. You know, in Mexico, you can buy this bag of mesquite charcoal. I don't know if any of you ever used mesquite charcoal, but it is very hard to get on fire. You have to really, you know, work at it to get that stuff going. And one time a guy told me, he said, well, if you look in the bag, there's a little bag of small little pieces of wood that are doused in diesel. And if you'll light those first, and put those big clumps of that mesquite charcoal, he said, about 30 minutes, you'll have a fire. I thought that was just trash in the bag. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's the kindling. The fire becomes enraged and out of control, even to the point, yeah, it'll cook, that's nice, or warm you, that's nice, but when it starts destroying, how many know that's not nice? And what he's telling us again, that the tongue is that little member that sets your world on fire, that sets ablaze to the things that you're in, and it all started by what you said. Now, do you see how important this is that we learn this? That I spend this amount of time on teaching us this? Because we will have what we say. What happens when the fire gets going and it burns and does all that destruction, it's very difficult to go back and see what started the fire. Because all the kindling was burnt up. So that's why we have to come and we have to catch our words while it's still aflame, while it's still little before it ignites and sets everything else on our path in fire, on fire. Are you listening to me? So we've got to see this and we've got to understand it because words started everything. But here's the good news. If the words can start it and bring destruction, then words can stop it. I said it can stop it. And it can bring blessing. When Jesus was in that boat, what did he do? He rebuked the wind. And he spoke to the sea. Peace be still. Say he spoke. Just by words. And he calmed the sea. How about Lazarus? Anybody remember the story of Lazarus? Just another one that comes to mind. This man had been dead 4 days. In fact, the sister said, he stinks by now. He's decomposed. Jesus raised him from the dead by speaking a word. He said what? Lazarus, come forth. He got out all mummified. He couldn't even. All he could do was just bounce out of there like a cocoon. And as soon as Jesus saw him bouncing out of that grave, everybody, loose him and let him go. See, the Word of God will loose you and let you go. The Word of God will purge your conscience. The Word of God is a living thing, remember? And it will divide what is real, what is not real. And so, as we read on here for the sake of time, we have to look at this. Just drop on down. Verse 11. It says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? In other words, if it's salt water coming out, then it's going to be salt water. Are you with me, church? Amen. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Somebody say no. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. In other words, if the spring is salt water, you're going to have salt water. If you add some fresh water, you're going to have some salty fresh water. If it's fresh water, then it's going to be fresh water. But if you add some salt to the fresh, then it's going to be fresh salty water. So the whole idea is to get our water fresh. Get our speech right. Get what we say right. Because he goes on and he tells you, who is wise and understands or understanding among you? Remember we talked about understanding a while ago in the offering. Let him show by what? Good conduct. That his works are done in meekness of wisdom. You know, when we come up here to give the offering, we don't go, doggone it, I got to give again. It's Christmas. Don't he understand? I won't have anything left to buy my mother-in-law. You gotta watch what you say. You gotta do it with the right attitude. Amen. It's gotta be a cheerful attitude. You'll have enough left to bless your mother-in-law. Amen. Maybe she'll have enough to bless you. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. So, but if you are what? Bitter, verse 14. Envy, self-seeking in your hearts. It says, do not boast and lie against the truth. Oh, we got to watch that, church. We got to watch that. Becoming envious and jealous and bitter. Remember, if somebody's believing God for something, and they believe that in their heart, and it manifests in their life, cheer them on. Cheer them on. Cheer their faith on. Are you listening to me? It's the devil who comes to steal. It's the devil who comes to rob. Oh, God wants us to get good things in life. Freely enjoy things, but not let the things rob us from real life. Not let the things control us, but that we can be a testimony. That people can read our book, bless God, and they can see that our God is a good God. And that our God is a God who will bless you exceedingly abundantly above. Now, one more over here in Proverbs 18. Turn over here just a minute to Proverbs chapter 18. Are y'all still here? Okay, now let me show you this. One last thing here in Proverbs chapter 18 this morning. Proverbs 18, let's begin in verse 6. The whole chapter really starts talking about our words, starts talking about our tongue. Everybody knows the verse. I think I quoted already in the message this morning, verse 21, where it says death and life are in the power of tongue. But let's back up here. Because remember, you have to get an understanding that God's word that proceeded out of His mouth will not return to Him, what? Void. But it will accomplish. That's what Isaiah 55 told us. It will accomplish the thing that He sent it to do. So when I speak the word, whether it's to my own body, whether it's to my financial situation, whether it's to my marriage, whatever it is, over my children, then I need to find and speak what God says, because that's what's going to bring forth fruit. And don't let anybody or any devil talk you out of what God said. Are you listening to me? The Bible says that whatever you put your hand to do, my brother, will prosper. Remember that? You remember that, because there's going to be times when it looks like you made a mistake. There's going to be times when people say, hey, look at your business. It ain't doing too good. Your confession is, oh, well, it ain't doing too good, is it? You know, there was an article yesterday said, don't look for any bonuses or raises in 08. I said, I don't receive that. Like they're expecting, you know, the economy to get worse. They're expecting businesses to do bad in the coming year. Well, yours is going to do better than it's ever done. You're going to prosper more than you've ever prospered. You know why? Because you are the head and not the tail. You don't look at the paycheck and say, well, no. You just say, thank you, Lord. There's more. There's more where this comes from, because as I seek you more, there's more. Because you're the God of what? More. Y'all are getting this pretty good. All right, let's look at Proverbs 18. Wrap this up. Look what it says. In verse 6, it says, a fool's lips enter into what? Now, if we'd have kept reading in James, it talks about where the wars come from. How do we get into contention? By words. We start letting what people said to us or say about us get down on the inside of us, and we start rehearsing that over and over and over. Remember, it starts out on one side of town as a tail. In time it gets to Donna, it's a whole cow. Are you with me? It says, a fool's lips enters into contention. So you're going to have to, number one, refuse to enter into that contention. Because you ain't no fool. And his mouth calls for blows. Next thing you want to know, when you get in contention, you want to become a boxer. Or a slapper. How many ever wanted to slap somebody real good? Just slap the devil out of them. Be honest, you're in church. You slap their... I remember my mother slapped my mouth one time. Because I said... And they... Not only did they slap my mouth, she slapped my... Then when my dad got home, he washed my mouth out with Lifebuoy soap. And the word I said wasn't all that bad. But I can't repeat it here. But you see, I heard some adults say it. Boy, don't you ever say that again. Yes, ma'am. Now, you got to be careful. You don't want to say, you ain't no good. You ain't ever going to mount to nothing. You're going to be just like your father. Oh, don't you say those kind of things. I said, don't let those words come out of your mouth to your children. Amen. Say, you're blessed, son. You are blessed, daughter. You're going to learn. You're going to learn better. If it hair lips the devil, you're going to learn better.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't going to spare the rod, son. Amen. See, there's a way to talk.
Amen.
There's a way to speak. But you got to get your language from this.
Amen.
Okay. Everybody with me? So, it says, the fool's mouth is his destruction. If you keep talking foolish, you're going down. And his lips are the snare of his soul. I mean, there's people that talk themselves out of the blessing of God. There's people that talk themselves sometimes out of serving God. They listen to the situation. They listen to the circumstances. They listen to what people say. They're rehearsing it over and over. Till pretty soon, they're just a clump of clay. God didn't call you to be useless nobodies. Come on, somebody. The words of a talebearer are like what? Tasty trifles. That means gossipers and slanders and backbiters and liars. People that say bad things about people. Hello. And they go down. Look at this. I want you to see this. And they go. See, it's not just words. This is what you got to learn from this. Is that words are spirit powered. Say spirit powered. Your words are like spirit. It says, and they go down into the inmost body. Or the little literal Hebrew says, literally, it says rooms of the belly, the innermost being. In other words, when you're bitter and when you're angry and you're full of resentment and you're full of hatred. I know none of y'all are like that, but I'm just saying when people are like that, it's because that has gone down into some compartment on the inside of them. And they walk around in life with a bad attitude. They walk around with a chip on their shoulder. How many know if you got a chip on your shoulder, the devil knows how to knock it off? Hey, listen to me. Got to be careful what you rehearse down inside there.
Amen.
You've got to get the Word of God in there to purge out the ungodly, the unclean stuff.
Amen.
And you don't need to be watching these TV shows that rehearse what people have done to them. They're telling, you know, up there, oh, I was molested when I was 7 years old. I was abused by my father when I was 10 years old. And I hate him to this day. How old are you? 70. Why is it still in there? Because you keep rehearsing it. And you keep saying it over and over. Now, maybe it happened, and we're not making light of that. But you see, the world's way is, oh, when you can start saying these things out of your mouth, that's when healing begins. That is a lie of the devil. Amen. Because when you start saying it over and over and over, oh, he did this to me, and they did that to me, and oh, you don't understand, I was molested, and I got hurt, and I did this. What are you doing? You're growing that corrupted tree. And with that tree allows to grow down in the garden of your soil, of your heart, then it's going to bring forth corrupt fruit.
Amen.
Are you with me? We're only going to reach our destiny by changing what we say. What do we say, Pastor? We say what the Word of God says. If we can't find the Word of God on it, keep looking until you do. Because God has a word for everything that you need. Everything you need is in the Word of God. God has an answer for every situation. He said all of His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He did not say maybe or someday. He said they're all possible if you can believe. But you can't just believe. But you got to speak what you believe, and you'll have what you say. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't tell it like it. Well, I'm just telling it like it is. Well, quit telling it like it is and tell it like you want it to be. Yeah. Come on, stand up with me. I'm through, but there ain't no place to stop. But I am going to continue this, I believe, one more week because I want you to learn something else. I want you to learn that when the ugly plant's growing in there, you can get it out of your garden. Yes. You can go in there and get the roots out before they defile you. Amen. Now, that's good to know because if it's words that sets our path to destruction, it's words that can clean us up. Amen. That's why you got to be born again. The only thing that can heal you from that bitterness and that resentment and that scar of abuse or whatever it was as a child or whatever, somebody did you wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody fired you unjustly. I don't know. You know, there's people that young man, 19 years old, that opened up fire in the mall. He didn't have any mother and father. They abandoned him, and a lady was keeping him. He just felt sorry for himself, like he was a burden on society, until he snapped. And all these commentators, always, well, is there any way we can fix that? Is there any way we can prevent this from happening? They all said, no, just humans are going to kill one another. I thought, my goodness, there is an answer. There is an answer. What if somebody would have told that young man, Nancy, about Jesus? I said, what if somebody would have went up to him and said, you know what? You may have been abandoned by your father, but I want to introduce you to my Father that will never leave you or forsake you.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.